Welcome to our morning show visit on WRCO Radio on a snowy morning, a frigid morning. We're glad that he made the trip over from the Hill and Highland. Superintendent of Highland Schools, Josh Terrell, is on with us today. How you doing, Josh?
Good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You guys had school today, so after a couple of days. Were you going to have Monday off anyway?
No, we were not. We were scheduled to have school Monday, but we were able to do a late start on Monday, and then yesterday was not a go yesterday, just too cold.
Yeah.
So, but we're back at her today. So,
you have quite the interesting district geography-wise, because you'll call me sometimes in the early morning hours, and boy, you get all kinds of roads over there, don't you?
We do, up on the old hill up there. You know, it's a little slick at times, but yeah, I get to call down here and talk to you once in a while, you know, check in, see how things are going.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you here in person in the studio.
Well, I appreciate it.
So give us a little bit of a history lesson of Highland Schools in the district, if you would.
Well, actually, this is a big year for us. So we are celebrating our 150th anniversary this year. So we're going to make some a big to-do out of as much as we can in 2025. And 1875 was the first recognized public school in Highland's history. So we're working with the Historical Society in Highland, and our yearbook's dedicated this year. And this fall, we're going to have, try to make homecoming and a couple of activities and have some get-togethers. So we have a planning committee together now, and we have some community members on that. So we think it's going to be a good recognition for our school for, 150 years. So we're excited.
That's an accomplishment. Are you aware of other area schools and like when they were incorporated? I mean, because that seems like a long time ago.
It does. It does. I'm not aware of too many other ones around us. But yeah, we just, we were looking it up and they found it, a while ago and said, geez, we got to do something about this. And that, at first kind of just, hey, this is coming up here in a couple of years. So this year we're going to do her up and see how we can celebrate it. So I think it's a really proud thing for the Highland community to be in a district that long, so we're proud of it.
A lot of schools went by the wayside, with being incorporated and things like that, and moving into other districts. But why do you think Highland has survived over the years, Josh?
It's a great question, and I'm born and raised in Highland, and I'm 50 years old now. So, even back when I was in school and the early 90s and through the 80s there was always a talk that, is Highland going to be around in 5 years? Is Highland going to be around in 5 years? And 5 years later, we're there. And 5 years later, and here we are, 150 years later, we're still, but times are still tough. Budgets are tight, for all districts. So it's still a, every year you're pinching pennies and trying to do the best you can with the money that you have. So, but, we got 150 years in, so we're pretty excited.
Yeah. So you did pass a referendum last year. Is that right?
We passed one in April. Yeah. So, So we are, we're hoping, every time you pass a referendum, it's a thank you, thank you, thank you to, we get great support from our community. So we obviously greatly appreciate that. So our goal is we can make it another, 5-6 years before we have to go back again. So hopefully we can do that.
And that was for operations?
Operational, yeah. We got 600,000 went to recurring referendum, and it passed. And we passed, actually, with pretty good numbers, so we're very pleased. Before we went to referendum, we worked with school specialties. Darren Severs is the guy we worked with, great guy. And we put a survey out there and got the feel of where the community was and how comfortable with what we wanted to go with. And we felt pretty good about the number we went with. And we got very lucky and very fortunate. We have community support, and we were able to pass in April, so...
Yeah, that's awesome. Because you have a rural area there, mainly rural in your school district, isn't it?
Yeah, mainly rural. We're obviously we're getting less and less dairy farmers out there, but we still have the same number of dairy cattle. Just farmers are bigger, and obviously we still need a lot of support from our rural area. So,
what about numbers in the district? How are they looking for the future, Josh?
Well, we've been dropping. It's every year. It's we get a little less, and we do the statistics and we look at it, and just Wisconsin schools alone, 70% of districts in our state are on decreasing enrollment. So it's no secret that you need, numbers as far as that's how your state aid is funded to the schools. And our numbers have been slowly decreasing as the last several years went on. So it's getting tougher and tougher, unfortunately. So we're about 200 and just under 270 in our entire district, 4K through 12 now. So it's, pinching pennies.
Let's talk about your staff. I think you're pretty proud of the people that work there.
Well, yeah, I've been in the district now for 15 years. And obviously, as I mentioned before, I went to school in Highland myself, but I started as a principal 15 years ago, and this is my second year as a superintendent. So I'm a superintendent slash principal now, and I have been extremely, extremely fortunate to have the staff that I get to work with every day. You know, our staff stick around. We've been very lucky that way. We have, in just the number of staff, I have 30 professional staff, 45 total staff that I work with, and I have very few turnover, so I've been very lucky that way on most positions. Now, we've had a couple that we've had to try to fill here in the last couple of years. We've had a really hard time keeping a business teacher, so we've been working with other districts. One thing great, you know, through the pandemic, with the COVID pandemic, you know, one thing that did come out of that was the ability to do a lot more outreach and not have to be in a certain place to get educated. So I will never say that having kids in a building is not the best thing to do. It is by far, but if we can reach out to other districts, for example, we have an accounting class that just started. We started our second semester this week, and we're having kids take accounting with working actually with Judah. So it's a great, you know, solution to problems when you can't find teachers. So teachers are really tough to come by nowadays, and so we've been lucky we can work with other districts and do that through distance learning.
So the teacher is actually in Judah, and your kids are watching it in Highland.
That's right. So mm-hmm. We just, you know, plug in the old computers, and they have their laptops, and we can put it up on a screen, up on a smart board in front of the classroom, and they can enter, you know, it's just like the teacher's there. So we're very fortunate that we've done that, you know, and a lot of districts do, you know, and we have online options. But if we can have a teacher in front where they're actually asking questions, they can, you know, start the discussion where they're back and forth instead of an online class, it's a good thing for them. So we're lucky we can work it out that way.
Is it a possibility, Josh, in the future that you might be sharing staff with other districts where they would travel to another district for a couple of hours and then come to Highland as well?
Yeah, we're actually working with our grant currently. We've reached out, and they've reached out to us as well, and we've had one joint meeting together so far with the school boards. We're planning another one here so soon, and we'll do that. And then we're trying to. The biggest thing now is calendars. Can we get at least a close calendar, and then the bell schedule? And you wouldn't think that'd be very hard to get on the same page, but schools get in a routine of what they like. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's different, you know, obviously, it'd be more with our high school classes than any elementary. So we have, you know, an elementary through middle through high school under one roof, where we have a schedule that works with all three, like lunch times, for example. You think it'd be something simple, but when we have to feed different groups and they have a less different lunch schedule, so time schedules get, you know, changed. But for the most part, though, we were able to work it out. We're pretty close. So if we do want to share staff, and we'd look at some stuff, for example, our early child, we don't have an early childhood program, so we work with our grant on that. We've had aides go back and forth here this year. So doing that has been helpful for both districts, I think.
You were involved, and you probably still are, in a program. We had a young woman come over and do like a job shadow with us, like a career thing, back and forth there for a little while. And that was, I think that was one of the requirements for her graduation, if I'm not mistaken. Does Highland still do that kind of thing?
We do. We call it our senior exit projects. We love it. We've been doing it now for, jeepers, I think over 10 years now. If I was to guess, it's got to be right in there somewhere. And we have Ms. Straka, Melissa Straka, and Jason Scanlon, two teachers, and now we added another one, Carrie Smith. We got a larger senior class, larger for our size school anyway. Mm-hmm. But so those three staff members are working with our kids, and it's just, we love it. The kids have to go out. They have to get, you know, 30 hours of work on a project. They have to do community service. They have to relate their project, how it can relate back to the community. We try to keep them community focused as we can. And boy, there's been some outstanding projects over the years, some great ones.
Yeah, my only drawback to that was I don't like it when you send a student that's more talented than me. You know, I mean, you got to work on that.
Yeah, I got the same problem. Kids are a lot more talented than I am, too. So, yeah, we've been very proud. They've got some great projects over the years that have gone through.
Yeah, you should be. Well, you know, we want to talk a little bit more about history, because I'm a history guy, but were you on the state football team back in 1991?
I was. Yeah. That was a fun year.
What was that like?
That was outstanding. I'll never forget it. Obviously, we had a great team. You know, we had a quarterback that went on to play at Mankato State, John Hebby, and he broke a lot of records up there. I think he's in the Hall. I know he is. He's in the Hall of Fame at Mankato State now. So he was our quarterback, and we just had a great group of guys and a lot of seniors and upperclassmen at the time, seniors, juniors. We had a, you know, for our size school, it was D6 at that time, was the smallest school. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun. That was a great year. So end up getting beat by Shell Lake, you know, in the final hoorah, but never forget her. It was fun.
I remember that year, too, because I called some of those games. And the other thing that I remember was we set record cold that year.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. We were supposed to play a game on it, and it got too cold, so they canceled it. But then we just had to get it in, so we went up and played one. It was the frozen tundra, that was
for
sure.
It was a Monday night.
Was it Marshall?
Marshall.
That's right. Yeah.
And I remember just maybe the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, it was a cold one.
There was no heated booth, that's for sure.
No, didn't have heaters like stuff like they do now, but it was cold.
Yeah. Such a proud moment, though, when you get to that level, and you've been there, you know, with football and basketball as well, but you see that little Highland bus pull up to the big house, you know, I mean, that's just it's like a Hoosiers moment, isn't it?
It is, man. I don't know what it is, but I just love being from a small town. There's nothing better in my mind, so.
Right. Because football went again in the late 90s.
They did. They went in, probably was it 96, something like that, and then we went again in 2000, mm-hmm. I believe. So we went to state twice, sorry. We went in 2000, and we got beat that game, too, to Spring Valley.
That sounds right, yeah. What is it about that Six Rivers Conference, too? I mean, it's just a blue-collar conference, isn't it?
It is. We've had some great teams out of there over the years. Now, obviously, we're part of the Bridgman Valley now, mm-hmm. as far as A-Man.
For football.
For football. But the Six Rivers Conference, and, I mean, you look at sports back in the day, you know, and even today, we look at, you know, Blackhawks been to state and how many times and won it. Potosi's been there. It's just been It's a tough conference. River Ridge is tough every year. Potosi Cass, when I was a co-op and playing football, they're tough. But, then we went to 8-man in football and had a heck of a year. Those boys were tough. You know, we got the state semis and had a heck of a year. And then you go back to the Six Rivers in our basketball sports. So, you know, mm-hmm. the Six Rivers Girls Conference is just, it is a gauntlet of good teams. You know, I think there's four or five teams this year again ranked. So, but, and our boys' basketball team's having a heck of a start to their year. Well, it's about halfway through now, I think.
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job. They're a lot of fun to watch.
They are. And I look at all of those teams that are ranked right now, and they're all small schools kind of from this area. You know, you begin with Royal, and then you have Southwestern and North Crawford. And, you know, I mean, you talk about a gauntlet, what that sectional is going to be.
Oh, that's sectional for the boys. Yeah, it is a gauntlet. They're going to. You better be playing your best ball. If you're off a night, somebody's going to tip you off. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, that's for sure.
It is. But what is it about the Six Rivers, too? Do they still have a lot of farm kids? Or it just kind of always seems to me like they've got big and strong athletes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that the farm kids are less and less now. You know, farms are few and far between now. They're just getting bigger and bigger. And so you don't see that too much, but it's just the same. I think it's that same mentality. I think just, like you said, blue collar, just get at it and play some ball, you know. So it's a lot of fun.
The conference has done like a crossover now, if I'm not mistaken. How does that work, Josh?
The boys do. Yeah,
Just the boys?
Just the boys. Yeah, the girls now, as far as basketball, we move to one conference, kind of like they're doing softball in the spring. So we'll play every school in the West. We're in the West, so we'll play every school twice in the West and every school once in the East. But each of those games counts on your conference record. So that's the way we're running now. But the boys still do a crossover game at the end. They don't. There's less co-ops in the boys than there are the girls, so they're able to do that. So whatever place you are in at a certain point in the conference, you'll play that team on the other side. So if you're, you know, right now, our boys are first place in the West, so they'll play the first place team in the East. So there's still mm-hmm. two conference champions, so there'll be an East champion and West champion. However, the conference record is a combination of both. It's a little different, but so that's how they're running it now.
And you being head girls coach, you must have to really divide your time wisely during the day, don't you, to get everything done?
You do. I was one thing that I was, worried about, but concerned, you know, if I would be able to do both jobs justice enough, you know, to be able to coach and be the head coach for girls basketball and still be the superintendent. But I tell you, it's like a 2-hour break for me, you know, where I can obviously work with kids on a different level than, you know, punching numbers in the office or. So you get to be out with the kids, so I love it. But, you know, we'll see how long I can keep doing it. I don't know. I've been doing it for quite a while.
And you have daughters at play, too. So.
I do. I still have two daughters in high school. Yeah, I have one that's graduating college in May, and then I got a senior and a sophomore. So.
Okay. Great. So as you look ahead to the future, how do you see the future, you know, for small schools and rural schools? I know they're hanging on. They're all proud of their communities and their districts.
Yeah, I tell you, that's another thing that, you know, it's something that concerns me, and it concerns, I think, a lot of people in our small towns, is how can we keep them going? You know, that's why it's so nice and proud to say that we are in, you know, as a district for 150 years, but in 5 years, will that be the best, or are we able to still do it? I don't know, with our numbers dropping, you know, and even like, you know, not just the smallest schools, you got, you know, your other schools that are still, like I said, when 70% of districts are still dropping, you know, schools are looking at different options and how, you know, the state funds our districts. It's very concerning. So it's always something that's in the back of our mind about what's best for kids and what's best for our community. And obviously we are the hub of our community. We need our community, something fierce, obviously, and they need us. So we need to work together and you know, do what's best for kids. But we're hoping that we can keep our district, you know, without having to consolidate. But if that's what's best for kids someday, it's definitely something we're going to have to consider at some point if things keep going the way they are. It's just one of those things, unfortunately, and some people might say fortunately, you know, they talk about more opportunities, you know, when you have, and is it a cost savings? Whether it is or not, I don't know. You know, obviously everyone knows no matter where your kids go to school or you're paying taxes somewhere, you know, whether it's in your own district or it's a neighboring district that your kids go to, you're paying them somewhere. So, you know, I'd rather have it be in ours and, you know, keep our kids here and you know, keep our district going and keep working with community like we do. So.
You have a great facility there. I consider it the new Highland High School. How long has it been there?
Well, our newest part, you know, our actually the original part of the new school, as people still call it, was actually finished in 96.
Okay.
So, and then the newest part where our elementary building is now was finished in 2006. So we're actually going to make our last payment on the newest portion of our building here this spring. So that'll be a nice little, you know, debt to have relieved. So, But yeah, that's the... It is. It's in great shape. You know, Mike is our maintenance director there. He does a great job keeping the building. You know, yesterday he was just watching everything, try to keep everything thawed out, you know, as cold as it was. But, yeah, I think we're in great shape as far as the building. Well, I mean, we started a Fund 46 here several years ago back in, you know, when Nancy Hendrickson was superintendent 5-7 years ago. And we've got that built up now. So what that is a fund where you keep that and you use it for, you know, projects that you have in your district around, like if you need a new roof, you need anything of that nature, you can use it for. So we've started that. We got a good reserve there now, so that'll help us out a lot.
I was just talking with somebody the other night about the old Highland High School, you know, and some of those schools and the history and, you know, in your gym, you had the tile floor there. Was it black tile?
Right. When I played, it was black tile back in the day. Yeah. Yeah, my kids, you know, that's the historical side is now there.
Yes.
So our kids would go down there and say, "Dad, take me around, you know, show me, you know," and they're intrigued. Okay, this is where I want, this is where my locker was. This is many moons ago now, Phil, many moons. But yeah, it's still there. It's nice to see the, you know, walk in there once in a while and just reminisce.
Yeah, because they're pretty active, the Highland Historical Society, in that building.
They do.
Too.
They do. They do a good job. They got a lot of historical stuff down there now, and they do a good job you know, putting it on display, and they have things there every now and again to raise money, and yeah, it's pretty nice to see.
Good deal. Anything else you'd like to add this morning, Josh, about Highland, or, you know, your...
No, I just like, you know, obviously, again, we want to thank our community for all the support that we get, and, you know, we did get a very nice donation here at our last board meeting. We had $1 million donation in the state, so I was just in awe, and obviously our community is, so Patrick Franz in the state.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he was born in Highland. His parents are both from Highland. So he just, he first shot me an email, and I was looking at, you know, this is one of those scam things, you know.
Sure.
So I was looking
Why
at,
wouldn't you think that?
That's right. Because you get those things, you got to be careful, right?
Yeah. So,
but I read the email through, and I said, boy, there's a couple of people, obviously, in the community that he's got named here. So I called him. I said, hey, do you know this person? Blah, blah. He says, yeah. He says, you need to give him a call. I said, okay. So I called him up, and... God, great guy. I talked to him for probably half an hour on the phone. And, you know, like I said, he's from Highland and has a lot of history there with his parents and grandparents. So he wanted to give back. He's done, obviously, well in his life and ran a great business. And in his estate, you know, when on his death, then he's donating $1 million to the school. So, wow. I mean, it just, I mean, you don't have the words to thank somebody for something like that. So we're just in awe of it. So we appreciate that. So that's pretty awesome.
Every superintendent in the districts around us would love to have that, right?
Oh, yeah, anyone would. Yes. I had to rub that in at the last, you know, superintendent's meeting. Say, hey, just, and, you know, then nobody talked to me the rest of the meeting. So.
I can believe that. Oh, that is awesome. Well, Josh, thanks for coming down today. We appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you again, and maybe you can come back and bring some of that good staff you have over there.
I'll do that. We'll do that.
Put them on the spot.
All right.
All right. Josh Terrell, superintendent of Highland Schools, joining us on this portion of the morning show.